My name is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, a super duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
What's up, people? This is the Reverend Spiro, and this is Eating Disorder.
Yeah!
Hello!
I'm here with my usual cohorts, Chef Paul Girard.
Thank you, Spiro.
Adam Velez.
Thank you, sir.
This week, we're going to talk about some of the differences and things we may not or know or may not know about different types of diets. One of them being veganism, which we've talked about in the past. The other one's being paleo, which we've never talked about.
Wilma!
And also a little bit about fitness. Because our guests are this week, Jim Loperfido. Did I get that right?
That is correct,
cool,
sir.
Cool, cool. Who is a CrossFit trainer and also a paleo enthusiast.
Sure.
And our friend Heather Wagner, who's actually a
Beast of what?
Beast of who?
Certified Beastinetics instructor just recently. Congratulations for being certified.
Thank you.
All right.
Made it.
And also a vegan. You know, and I mean,
I googled that. I got some different stuff.
Did you Google image or did you Google the term
Beastinetics? I didn't even know people could do that.
Well, and I mean, look, one of the things is I've talked about it on the show. I've tried to change my diet personally over the last couple of months, and I've done much less meat and much more fish, and I've lost weight. I have lost weight.
I thought it was just me shaving your beard.
I know, that's what I was going to say. All the flavor, all the little snacks that were stored in his beard.
Even though I lost weight, when I shaved my beard, I found three other chins. You know, so it was. But I've definitely lost weight. I feel better not eating as much meat. We've always said, you know, common sense, eat less, move more, you know. But, you know, people do adopt certain things that we'd like to know more about. I mean, Jim, tell us a little about yourself because you have an interesting story. I mean, you start, as we had mentioned, you'd started on Wall Street at one point or another, but now you've changed your life over to something that's a little bit more of a passion for you, correct?
Sure, yeah. I mean, I had a little bit more of a sedentary lifestyle on Wall Street, and mm-hmm. I think that's kind of what led me down the path to...
You weren't doing enough coke.
I probably should have imbibed a little bit more. but yeah, I think... sitting at a desk for 14 hours a day and mm-hmm. staring at computer screens isn't the most optimal means of achieving health and longevity.
And, because, you know, I mean,
you could say that as, you know, somebody who's, you know, unwilling to work hard and make a living for themselves, especially in New York City. Where
you get to wear really cool suspenders.
Yeah. Yeah, no, but for fun, I sit on a couch for 14 hours a day and stare at television.
Exactly. I mean, you know, yeah. So. Yeah, I mean, the idea there was that...
See, that's perfect example. It's not always the eating habits. Sometimes it's the moving habits. And
absolutely. And point there was that it's easy to say that it's... You know, sitting in a chair all day is something that we do as a result of our career professions. But in reality, there's a lot more that affects you psychologically, personally, mm-hmm. that you should consider. And
let me ask you something. And this brings up the thing I was talking about with the train, with the young men not giving up seats to people on the train. It infuriates me, and I just cannot get it through my head why people... The majority of people have jobs where they sit at desks all day long. Why the fuck, from the moment they wake up and then they walk to the train, do they need a fucking seat right away? Young men. I don't understand it. I don't understand. People just want to sit all day long.
There's literally nothing worse. I mean, you know, most people that are sitting at a desk are staring at a computer screen, which right. is not only bad for your eyes and your
back.
Posture. Like,
yeah.
I have... a cervical herniation from sitting at a desk for 12 years of my life in poor posture.
Cervix?
That no.
if you play your cards right.
Well said, Heather. That was good. No, I mean, it's just, you know, the fact that we sit in this posture is, it's terrible for you.
Kind of like and we're sitting now, which is really
exactly
bad.
How
with
we're
pizza
now.
With pizza in front of us.
Yeah, we're all eating pizza. Certainly, many hypocrites in the room right now.
I think we're going to evolve into these like crazy like big thumbed beasts. Like even cowgirls get the blues from like texting so much.
Yeah, no, but reality is like, you know, there's even memes about it on the internet floating around of, you know, the stages of evolution and mankind standing up taller and taller, and then now we're sitting at a desk. Hunched over, looking at a computer screen.
Yeah, but you can only find that on the internet.
His Facebook page. Basically, it's a guy turning back at all the other stages of evolution, going, "Go back, we fucked it all up.
We fucked everything."
Yeah,
it's like Homo erectus all the way up to man turning around.
Go back.
And I think that could kind of serve as the theme for the speech. You know, the talk tonight is that nature knows best.
So what?
And it's true. You know, it's like, why would you fight against, you know, hundreds of thousands of years of evolution and like what we're meant to be?
Because we think we know better.
No, because Procter and Gamble, because Kraft, because Unilever, because we've been what most people. Okay, the instincts that we've developed as hunter gatherers to some level have been perverted. All right, to the point where people think that there's not going to be, like, you still have this primal instinct where it's like eat. This has actually been proven from the time it's left from us.
But that's not a primal instinct to eat.
No.
You know, other animals don't eat.
Right.
Eat until they're fed.
Well, I would say that it is because food is much harder to get.
Exactly.
You eat as much as you can because you don't know when you're going to get it next.
Hunting a buffalo in the middle of the night, hoping to maybe catch something.
Right. But after they eat, they don't continue. Eating, you know, I mean, we're the only ones that do that.
My pug does.
Dogs
that,
do that.
Well, now that's the case.
They reinvent movement too. Like, you know, they have the shake weights. Like they encourage they encourage people. Like even if you're gonna work out, they're like, just sit down and hold on to this, and it sprays a refreshing mist in your face when you're done. But it's, I don't understand it. Like, why not just curl, do some push-ups, go for a jog? It makes no sense to me.
So what happened in your life on Wall Street? What was the deciding factor that said, I need to change?
Aside from sitting at a desk for 14 hours a day, and the reality is you're not really creating much value. And I think that through CrossFit, I developed or found something that really does add value to people's lives. And, you know, as cliche as that may sound, it actually is.
Somebody doesn't like you talking about CrossFit.
Thunder. Just,
as you
I know.
Said that, I add value to people's lives.
May God
lives.
Spite me for talking was, about this, right?
Strike him down.
CrossFit had a whole new meaning back during the crucifixion. It wasn't that fit.
Hey-o.
We actually wanted to make a CrossFit like Jesus t-shirt for one of the companies I own, but we were a little afraid of the implications.
He died for your sins. Why don't you work out?
Yeah. That's what my friend has an idea to do. It's Crucifitness.
Oh my God.
We're going to do it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So what made you change?
I mean, I just kind of was tired of
being tired.
You know, tired of being tired and tired of taking from, you know, the piece of the pie that wasn't growing. And, like, you know, if you add value to the world, you
had you had
really
a nice lecture from Matthew McConaughey in the beginning of your career. You
yeah, I want to be my hero 10 years from now.
Yeah.
if anybody watched, like, what was the Emmys, the Grammys, the Oscars? Yeah. Sorry, confused those. But I think that, you know, through college, I kind of recognized the idea that moving around and not smoking pot and drinking and going
don't
out.
Don't you talk bad about pot.
And doing
nothing to you.
Speaking of which, I'm investing in a lot of pot stocks right now.
Well, as well you probably should be.
Yeah. Let's talk about that later.
You're not alone, Spiro.
It's the Green Rush.
You're not alone.
And Vapor Rush.
Yeah. Green Rush is actually a fucking, you should probably coin that.
I'm sure it's already coined. Like, Paris Hilton owns that, but that's hot.
But yeah, I just kind of got tired of the sedentary lifestyle and saw what it was doing to my health and thought that, you know, it was ready for, you know, time for a change. And I also liked the entrepreneurial idea and kind of venturing out on my own. And I had started a company before I left that has since continued and is doing well.
Yeah.
It's actually a CrossFit accessory brand. It's separate from CrossFit facility that I'm opening. You know, I just kind of wanted to be my own boss in a way. I think that the independence that came with, you know, learning to answer to people is kind of an awakening experience for some people. But
yeah,
yeah.
It's a learning curve.
Yeah, I didn't enjoy it, and I wanted to kind of move in a different direction,
sir. So you're gonna have to learn. You're gonna have to learn quick.
Exactly right.
So there's also something very primordial about the caveman diet,
paleo. You
know, yeah, I mean, you know, it has the name paleo, right? Obviously has, connotations to a period or that, you know, we've evolved in or goes back.
Breaking news, the apocalypse has just started outside, so we might be looking at the Ice Age all over again. That diet's about to come in very handy.
This just in.
You'll give us 22 minutes. We'll give you.
As much as of a paleo enthusiast as I am, we have pizza, we have some alcohol.
Yeah, we're good.
I'm enjoying myself.
Speaking of paleo.
I'm not worried about the apocalypse.
You should try. I'm going to try paleo dating. We should make paleo dating.
You just club them?
Just club them.
Nice.
Just club them.
Club them.
Put them over your shoulder.
You just got to make it a trend first so you don't go to jail.
Exactly.
Of course. You know, because if it's a trend, it's okay. It's legal.
It's okay. Heather, tell us a little bit about you. What's your deal with your eating habits?
Me? Well,
what's your eating disorder?
I recently became vegan. I've flirted with it over the years. I think the longest I've gone is about 2 years. But I've been vegetarian for almost 30 years.
How long have you been in New York, if you don't mind me asking?
New York? Almost as long. Yeah, like 27 years.
So I'm just going to let you know, you haven't been a vegan in 27 years. Because apparently, I just read an article, all New York City tap water has little shrimp cocktails in it.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
so there's no such thing as a vegan in New York when you think about it. Because,
no, but you can drink out of the plastic water bottles, which then poison you. So, you know.
Okay.
Plastic or shrimp or cancer? Shrimp or cancer? Cake or death?
Shrimp
or
cocktail cancer. In the water. Tell us more about this, because you could charge a lot for that.
No, there is. There's crustaceans in the water. There's tiny little
microscopic
crustaceans.
Of course there is. I never knew that.
They're delicious.
Why, yeah, they are.
You got to see the filtration systems that we put in restaurants. They come in and they're perfectly white. Within a week, they're fucking black.
Wow, and they're crawling away. You have to swat them.
Don't ever drink water on an airplane.
Really?
Oh.
Especially if it's blue.
Oh, yeah. the crap that grows in an airline water tank.
Ooh.
Oh, don't ever do it, guys. Not even coffee. Coffee
it's
or tea.
It's the first thing I always ask for at an airplane.
Exactly.
It's like, I gotta
That's good to know.
Water.
In New Orleans, we used to have bathing warnings. They would tell us not to shower in the water. It was so bad, so full of carcinogens.
Wow. Yeah. That's crazy. Boil your water before
Heather,
you shower.
Heather, go
it's
on, please.
Water. Wow.
Well, Heather, like we were talking outside, I wanted to know, give us the... Again, from an ignorant standpoint, what the difference between vegetarianism and veganism and you know, because like again,
piousness.
No, that's not true. Like I look
it
at
kind
it,
of
it's
is
a vegetarian,
true.
It's all
you're
vegetables,
right.
But that's not true.
Yeah.
Yes,
no, I mean, there are a lot of sort of holier than thou vegans for sure. There are a lot of, you know, assholes anywhere, but
that's the good part.
Yeah, but we were talking before. Noelle had a little picture that had a. It said, if you're vegan and you do CrossFit, what do you tell people first?
You tell them you're Mormon.
Right. And then, you know, Spiro, you said, like, how can you tell if someone is a vegan? Don't worry, they'll tell you.
Yeah.
It can be true. Yeah. I don't feel comfortable telling people what to do. We were talking before, Jim and I, and it's true that there's not really, there are more similarities between the paleo diet and veganism, like the emphasis on whole foods that are unprocessed. And there, you know, it's like you do what works for you. This makes sense to me. I went vegan for ethical reasons.
Do you wear leather?
I don't wear leather, no.
You don't?
No.
So there's also a moral animal treatment.
Yeah, that's the main reason. I just don't feel comfortable. I don't think animals are ours to exploit or use for any of their products. So I don't, you know, no wool, no silk, no honey.
No honey. You know, I've always wondered about that, though. You know, I can see the point about that they replace the honey for the bees with the high fructose corn syrup or sugar water.
Or agave, which is really,
you know, that's what I believe to be the downfall of the bees. But is that the reason that it hurts the bees because we're taking their honey from them?
I suppose. I don't
the bees are pissed
but,
off.
Those bees. I don't know. Yeah, there's something going on with the bees for sure.
Vegan reasoning for why you don't?
Any animal that animals are not ours to use for any reason at all. Whether it, you know, people will say, well, chickens don't die when you take their eggs, cows don't die when you take their milk. But
they kind of like it.
The dare.
that mooing is actually them getting off on the on the twerking of the nips.
But the dairy and the egg industry are no better than the meat industry. In some ways, worse because they are killing. I don't want to get into a bias.
That's why we're here.
Oh, yeah. That's why we're here.
baby male chicks die.
Yeah, I've
baby
seen
baby male calves die in the dairy industry, and they keep them alive and force them to produce.
I have problems the moment you see. Look, I have these friends who send me these horrible pictures of,
nobody,
of God
nobody
knows
wants
what you
to
know.
Kill animals.
And I do love meat. I do, and I try not to eat it. But I mean, when it comes down to it, I see these photos about like, they had another thing. It's like now they suffocate chickens with foam. This is like
I've seen that.
Yeah, the humane way to kill a chicken is to suffocate it with all its buddies with foam. And I'm like,
it takes minutes for the
you know, my grandfather in Greece, you know what he used to do? He was my mother's uncle, actually, specifically, right? He used to just snap a chicken's neck, and that was done, and it felt a lot more humane. But I'm getting the high sign from our producer. I think we're going to go to break. This is Eating Disorder, and we will be back very, very soon. Yeah. We're back. Awesome. We're back. This is Eating Disorder. Thanks for sticking around. And we're going to the second half of the show where we've been talking about the paleo diet and the idea of veganism. And I think we're getting ready to grumble, right?
That'll be pretty awesome, having a vegan paleo boxing match or something like that. Like one vegan versus a paleo person on a diet and see who comes out on top.
Vegans have superpowers.
They do.
And they what do you call it? You call it a cageless match?
Cage-free match. Actually, I do want to ask about that. Heather, what is your thoughts on, you know, all these approaches to promote, you know, the paleo diet with cage-free chicken or organic
and the caveman
this,
is taken
non-GMO,
off first.
Non-GMO, that kind of thing.
The caveman
well,
won first.
I think most people are aware, or should be aware, I guess. If you live in the United States and you're eating meat, it's impossible that you are not eating factory farmed meat. It's just, it's something like 99.9%.
Well, I mean,
unless you're going to an Amish farm.
Unless you're buying from Heritage Meats.
Heritage Meats, yes.
Oh yeah, I've heard of that company.
A wonderful sponsor.
It sounds authentic.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
But it's true though. You really. Yeah, there's no way that you're getting something that's, you know, quality made. You know, you go to a Chinese restaurant and you get like 4 pounds of chicken for 99 cents.
Yeah,
I mean, where
yeah.
do you think it's coming from,
yeah,
really? You know, like anything you're going to get in Key Food or Seat Town or anything like that. You know, if it's wrapped in plastic,
C stands for cage.
Yeah,
by the way,
again, that's part of my problem personally is the fact that like I don't know how to shop. This is my issue. Like, you know, it doesn't matter whether it's vegetables or meat. Okay, it doesn't. I have no clue. I'm terrified. I go into the supermarket and I'm literally terrified. I'm like, that's probably a GMO and that's probably cruelty meat. You know, and this is torture chicken. And you know, and
actually. Sarah, that's on you. That's your responsibility. Like saying, "Oh, I don't know how to shop," is like saying,
well,
"Oh,
no,
Your
no,
Honor,
no. My,
I didn't
my,
know the safety was on."
No, no,
come
no.
On,
my point is, nothing is labeled. Nothing is labeled. And
actually,
big,
it is labeled. You can look at the barcodes on like a banana or something. I think it's like if the number
wait,
9. I'd have
I'm
to,
sorry.
I'd have to check it out. But you, there are certain
I
numbers
have to
that
know
you can tell
the
if it's GMO
on a
or
banana.
Not.
I mean, no, but
you look at the number on it. I mean, it's not any different than reading a label.
They usually label all organic food is usually labeled like, you know, certified organic, but the non-organic foods, non-organic meats, you never. It's not like a pack of cigarettes from like Europe that says this will kill you and cause lung cancer blatantly on the pack. Right. It'd be funny if they showed like a pack of like chicken and it had like a picture of a chicken with a black Abu Ghraib bag over its head, and it was like, and that's it. And you didn't have to know whether or not it was cage free. You knew that shit is rough.
Naked chicken with a marine next to it. You know. Well, wait, okay, so let's talk about shopping. Though. I mean, where do you live in a neighborhood, right? What are some of your favorite places to shop from a vegan standpoint?
You can get. I mean, you can go to the local Met Food and get. You know, they have tofu and vegetables and produce that's decent.
Ah,
you know,
tofu. Now, from that side, though, see, we've always heard, and we were talking about beans the other day from the paleo side. Tell me what the objection is from the paleo diet, from the bean, soy side.
Yeah, I mean, there's certain proteins involved with beans and therefore soy that are an irritant to the gut.
Okay. Well,
yeah, but I thought
I can attest to that. Well, yeah,
Spiro, you told us about this.
I thought it was just based on that they had learned how to cook.
Are known to run away.
Yeah, absolutely. It's you know, but I love soy too. I mean, I love beans, but I mean, is it any soy product like soy sauce? Is that a problem?
I mean, I'm not.
If you have a gluten,
it has the word soy in it.
I can't speak to the particulars well enough to be an authority on the source or that kind of thing. But I would say that. beans and those types of things and soy, like a lot of the times the products that you're buying are well processed.
Okay.
And that's never a good thing. And I'm sure Heather could agree with that. And, you know, a lot of the proteins that come from beans and legumes are irritants to the gut.
Right.
And, you know, that's essentially one of the anti-inflammatory ideals that comes with the paleo lifestyle.
I thought that the whole beans and grains and all that stuff was pretty much based on the fact that, like, they hadn't really learned how to cook all that stuff. Or, like, that's what I understood, that the idea was that they weren't cooking most of, like, they weren't boiling beans for 4 hours or whatever. I mean, I might be wrong, but that's what I heard.
Yeah, you're wrong.
Okay, that's good. I mean, that's what I heard. I mean, that's why we're here. I want to know more about
that's just what I've learned about it, Paul, to be honest. But yeah, that's
so
from what I understand, it's just kind of the proteins and micronutrients involved in beans are a gut irritant for some people, and they don't like to call it an allergy. They call it an intolerance,
right?
It can be bad for certain people. Similar to a lactose intolerance.
See, the thing is, I've always been told that beans are something healthy. But I mean, obviously, we're always told like fiber, and this is something everybody in the room can agree on. Fiber really healthy, right? Now, listen, I'm 45 years old. We're having some issues these days. Like literally, I was just telling Paul outside. Like I'm starting to have to take Metamucil. All right, which is basically orange flavored poop tang.
God.
Okay. That's what's helped the astronauts go.
You know, but from a natural standpoint, I don't want to do this, but from a natural standpoint, what's a better natural alternative than me going to the store and buying this crap? Like, I mean, it's not just the beans. Sometimes vegetables hurt me too. They do. Like, you know, raw vegetables will hurt me sometimes, you know, and it gets gassy even when
you don't have to do everything raw. I mean, you could cook it. You should just eat a more vegetable-heavy
diet. You ever come around me after cooked broccoli?
I'll come on you after cooked broccoli.
So sorry for Judy. Poor Judy.
No, I mean, because this is just a part of the show where, it devolves into poop jokes. I mean, that's what we do.
So what is it about, like, the two of you with your individual diets? What made you choose to go, like, why are you vegan? Why are you paleo?
Well, for me, it was the ethical reason. I went vegetarian. A friend of mine in high school challenged me to, you know, go a week. I was like, I could do this. So I was vegetarian for many years. And at the time, it was for health reasons. Also, I wasn't into killing animals. I don't think anyone really is. And then, this time it was for ethical reasons. I just if I can live and be healthy and thrive and be fit and strong, and not consume animal products, I'm going to do that. And you know, friends will send
it gives
articles.
You more energy for the bestiality.
Yes.
Wait, what was it again? Wait, what was it called? Beastinetics. Sorry. Yeah. I keep
bestiality. What was it?
I keep getting that confused.
All my friends challenged me to do was like mushrooms and blow in high school. I wish somebody was like, "Hey, you should stop spending money and take the bus home and stop taking cabs."
I was like, how much of these mushrooms can you put in your mouth at once?
That's vegan.
That is vegan.
Totally vegan.
I pioneered the damn thing.
Yeah.
Never more than a quarter, Adam.
And why didn't you go vegan?
Well, I mean,
vegan?
One of the reasons why we suggest, you know, meats and fish and that kind of thing is for omega-3 oils and fats, which are known to be anti-inflammatory and
are, so are you just constantly like swole helpful. Up and are you like constantly blown up or are you like a blowfish right now? Or are you at your most subtle?
Anti-inflammatory.
I know, but
that's the thing. The word inflammatory keeps coming up, and I want to know more about that. Yeah. Where is the inflammation?
So the inflammation.
Is it?
Well,
it's in yours. In your culo.
Yeah. Well, actually,
you're the inflammation in my colon right now.
Sadly, that's part of the truth. But, you know, there's proteins, and, you know, the way paleo kind of approaches, you know, health and that kind of thing is that the conventional diet dictated by, you know, the government and all these larger corporations.
The food pyramid.
Is this pterodactyl local?
I don't know, Fred. What do you think?
That Barney Rubble sumac.
Spiro, you hit it on the head with the food pyramid. And the fact is that, like, those grains produce that kind of inflammatory response. Mm-hmm. And, you know,
a second. You're telling me that meat doesn't inflame something? Come on now. That's ridiculous. And also, all of those amigas are found.
Meat inflames my loins, Orla.
But
the Irish girl's making my meat Dublin.
Yeah.
That was awful.
That's all we have time for this week, folks.
This is why we can't have nice things.
Now, the idea is that proteins like gluten actually are big enough to create holes in your gut lining.
Really?
And a lot of other things like viruses and bacteria come through your gut lining and go through your blood and lymph nodes systems and other parts of your body.
Yeah.
And it's been linked to all sorts of autoimmune diseases like... you know, things, autism, arthritis, a lot of different things that have been known to be reversed by the paleo lifestyle.
But the gluten thing is okay from the vegan standpoint because it's not an animal product, right?
Well, yeah, technically it's vegan, but it's not the healthiest thing.
Okay.
I love mock duck, though. It's
mock duck.
So delicious.
And it's made out of gluten?
It's all gluten.
It's all gluten. Mock duck?
Pure gluten.
Yeah. Pretty pure gluten. Yeah.
Does it come in like a squirt bottle where you...
No, it's like it looks and feels and tastes like duck. It's
the real duck.
The real duck.
Yeah. That's interesting.
How do you both feel about raw foodists?
It's not really mutually exclusive to the paleo lifestyle, I guess you could say.
I think they're lazy.
Let me rephrase that question because that sounded like I was attacking the people. How do you feel about the idea of cooked food?
Well, I think there's a lot to be said for the raw food. You know, the idea being that they come, you know, eating food raw already has the enzymes to digest itself, and so you use fewer enzymes and your, you know, so your body state, it's less of a load on your body to digest it. But then there are some foods you're just not gonna, you're gonna eat raw potatoes, and there's some foods that are just more, the nutrients are more bioavailable when you cook them, like carrots and sweet potatoes. So I know some people who have done raw food ism, I guess. And, you know, raw vegetables are good to incorporate into your diet. Doing it 100%, and even the people who are raw foodists are usually, you know, 80% max. I mean, it's just so hard to do. And it's not, I don't know if it's the best way to go.
I actually had a question about the cooked meat from the paleo side. I mean, how do you cook your meat? I mean, is it obviously no fried meat, right?
Well, I had a dime every time somebody asked me.
I don't fry. I mean, broil, grill, that type of thing.
Right, so is it right? But I mean, honestly, is it a right to, like, because again, if it's from a standpoint, it's like lemon juice and olive oil. Is that okay?
That's fantastic.
It is.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I mean, because I personally don't
There are certain vegetable oils that you, like canola oil is no good for you.
No good for you?
Certain things that you want to go for the natural saturated fats like avocado oil, coconut oil, those types of things.
No motor oil.
So
no
what if, is it possible to do paleo as a vegan?
Yes, it is, but you'll be very hungry.
That's what happened to Neanderthals. That's why they're not here no more. They were vegan paleos.
That's what happened to the dinosaurs.
That's why our life expectancy is much longer nowadays.
Right. We got a little bit more time. I want to just talk a little bit about, you know, I want you guys to plug your places. Where is your place going to be open?
I mentioned earlier my CrossFit facility is opening 32nd between Park and Madison. It's called CrossFit Solace. Plenty of good CrossFit facilities in Manhattan that are growing very rapidly.
Is there going to be a website or a Twitter?
Yeah, CrossFitSolace.com is the website. You could see all our social media plugs from there. But it's a growing trend. It gets a cultish appeal from the public perspective, but it's worth its merits.
And Heather as well, we'd like to know a little bit more about if people wanted to sign up for Beastonetics or find you
Just tell us what Beastonetics is.
Beastonetics is it's a high intensity interval training HIIT workout created by Tim Haft, who also did Punk Rope. It's based on the Tabata protocol, which means you work out really, really hard for 20 seconds, then you rest, then work out really, really hard for. So you're done very quickly, but you're pushing yourself as hard as you can go for a really, really short period of time.
And because we only got a little bit more time, where do people sign up for it?
Oh, beastanetics.com.
Beast, and can you spell it?
BEASTANETICS.
I think that was called Hip Hop Abs before.
Yeah. That guy on the That's the more advanced version.
All right, so folks. Thank you again. Thank you to all of our guests. This is another episode of Eating Disorder. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.